The man after God's own heart. What a title. Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? Do you desire to be? Long to be? Pray to be? Episode 2, 1 Samuel 17. Giants. 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 The grim giant. Fear. The great giant. Faith. The greater giant. Fullness. The greatest champion and giant of all. Jesus. Norton Winfred Simon was a Jewish multi-millionaire. And he was a lover of fine art. He collected the old masters. And in his museum called the Norton Simon Museum in California, you will find a painting based on 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51, by Peter Paul Rubens. This is one of the most famous painters of all time, one of the most priceless paintings. The slaying of Goliath. One of the most exciting, one of the most dramatic, one of the most well-known stories in the whole of the Bible. The giant Philistine from Gath. If you get the Guinness Book of Records, you will find that Robert Pershing Wadlow is in that book as the tallest man in the world. Look at him, 9 foot. Is that 8 foot or 9 foot? 8 foot, 11 inches. Amazing, isn't that? But actually, if you were to get on the bus and go a few miles down the road to Hale Village, you'll find John Middleton's grave, the child of Hale. And he was 9 foot, 3 inches. In this passage, Goliath of Gath is said to be 6 cubits and a span. Go home and find just how tall he actually was. And then covered in his mail and standing on a hill, how ginormous he must have been. The year is 1025 BC and the place is Soko, 3 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And the occasion is a standoff between the Philistines and the people of God. Remember that according to the Old Testament, the Philistines of this particular period in time, they were those who had the monopoly on iron ore. Here were a group of people well equipped with iron spears and iron swords and iron daggers. Not only so, they were well trained, well supplied, with 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, thousands upon thousands of infantry. And they were facing a nation with just 2 swords. Can you imagine that? And here they were, gathered, and there's terror in the air because the giant fear comes onto the scene. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the fear of man brings a snare. Isn't that true? And this situation finds the people of God under the rule of Saul, you remember. They're frightened by what they see. They're frightened by what they hear. And they're even frightened about what they feel. The situation is just too much for them. Let's follow the narrative, shall we? Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soco, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soco and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and servers." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then verse 24 says, "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid." Did you know there are people in this congregation every Sunday night who don't bring a Bible with them? Do you know the level of biblical knowledge has sunk? I am determined every time we preach from this pulpit, we will read what the Bible says. Actually, the public reading of the Bible will do you more good than any sermon you ever hear. Isn't that true, those of you who have walked with the Lord? This is God's word. It's authoritative, inerrant. It is the word of the living God. Here's the giant fear. It comes in the form of Goliath. It grips Saul's men who are all gathered there. They're all terrified. What they see, a giant. What they hear, "I defy you." What they feel, terrified. You know as well as I do that fear can dominate your horizon, can dominate your thoughts so that you can't think of anything or anyone else except that object of fear that dominates you. Here is Goliath of Gath. Here are the people of God. He is a giant. And what's more, he has the most well-equipped army behind him. He's challenging us, and there's no one in our ranks who's willing to face him. I know lots of people crushed by fear. Don't you? All sorts of fear. Fear of the past, catching up with them. Fear of the people they live with. Fear of being rejected. Fear of those thoughts that dominate you so much that you can hardly at times breathe. But there is a greater giant. It is the giant faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I remind you what Hudson Taylor said. Faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, believes for the impossible. Isn't that true? No wonder we're commanded every single day to take the shield of faith. No wonder we're exhorted to walk by faith and not by sight. No wonder we are told the just shall live by faith. No wonder Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. No wonder the Apostle John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And now we find in this narrative that this faith honors God in small things. And this faith is jealous for his glory. And this faith perseveres when discouraged. And this faith rests in experience and not in arguments. And this faith operates in weakness. Listen to what the Bible says. Now David, son of Jesse, recently anointed king of Israel, was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. We met them last week. David was the youngest. The 3 elders followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them. Here is faith. Look at it. It honors God in small things. David looks after the sheep. The older brothers are at war. Son, I want you to take some bread, some cheeses to your older brothers. They're going to despise him for doing so. But in small things, he's obedient. He exercises faith and honors God in the small things of life. You know, I find, particularly in some young men, a great desire to lead, but no desire to follow. No desire to serve. No desire to do the small things, to brush the floor to the glory of God. Here is David doing small things to the glory of God, honoring God in those small things. Yes, Father, I will go. I will go to the battle. I will bring the cheeses. I will bring the bread. We notice that he's not really appreciated. Now, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked to them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistine and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the man who stood by him, what should be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why do you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? He's unappreciated. What have I done now? What have I done wrong? Do you ever have an older brother like that? An older sister, you just can't do right for wrong. Always ready to pick on you. Always ready to put you down. What have I done? I've only come down to ask questions, see what's going on. But we find out now that this faith demonstrates itself in being jealous for God's glory. For we read, and he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. Let's go to the next passage. Yep. Great. When the words of David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul and sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You're not able to go up against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. But he's been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. When there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him, struck him, delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and birds, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Wow. Here is faith honoring God in small things. Here is faith jealous for God's glory. I'll take him on. I've fought against lions and bears. I'll take on this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go out in the name of the Lord. And the Lord will deliver me. You see, to have a burning, jealous concern for the glory of God is the secret of biblical courage. It is fear on its knees. As a young man, he will be trembling on the inside, but the tremble and burn of God's Spirit within him and the conviction of faith given by God to him was greater than the enemy before him. And look, this is faith which perseveres even when discouraged. For we read as we go on, then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I've not tested them. So David put them off. You see, even though he's been discouraged, because Saul says, listen, if you're going to go forward here, you're going to need some real gear. Helmets and breastplates and swords and shields and all the metal you can get. David tries it on. Remember that Saul was head and shoulders over everyone in Israel. David's only a teenager at this point. It was too big for him and too heavy. He can hardly walk. He would be discouraged, but he perseveres. Perseveres when being mocked by his brothers. Perseveres when being weighed down by armor which won't fit him, which won't suit him for the battle. Every man or woman who walks by faith will face discouragement of one sort or another. And the key is to persevere in faith. And rest in experience, not in arguments, because that's what David did. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." He's not going to argue. He's going to rest on the experience of knowing the Lord of hosts, knowing the God of armies, knowing the King of kings. And he will operate in weakness. He will go without anything other than 5 smooth stones and a sling in his hand. Wow. Remember singing at Sunday school? Only a boy named David. Only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David. 5 little stones he took. 1 little stone went in the sling and the sling went round and round. Hold on there. He goes in weakness, yet full of the Lord of hosts. Wow. That's a great giant, isn't it? Faith. It really is. The grim giant is fear. A great giant is faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith which honors God in small things. Faith which is jealous for God's glory. Faith which perseveres when discouraged. Faith which rests in experience, not in arguments. Faith which operates in weakness. But then there is a greater giant. It is the giant fullness. The third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. We are to be full of the Holy Spirit. Already we've been told that at his anointing, the Holy Spirit rushes upon David. He walks in the Spirit. He thinks in the Spirit. He's saturated in the Spirit. He's full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes upon him. But is this some airy-fairy, let's just have feelings burning warmly inside of us? No. He is also full of means. He picks up the stones. What do you think of when you think of those stones? Please don't think they're the 5 points of Calvinism. Some people say it's 1 for the middle, 1 for the right eye, 1 for the left eye, 1 for the temple, 1 for the throat. Others think, well, no, he had 4 brothers. Goliath, he really did. And one of his brothers had 6 fingers on one hand and six fingers on the other hand and six toes on one foot and six toes on the other. He was a beast. Well, maybe the other brothers will come. But he uses the means before him. Those stone and the sling. He's full of skill. Judges 20 says the 700 people in Israel who are left-handed, who can split a hair. I mean, think about that. Here's a left-handed Benjamin eyes, and he can... Unbelievable. Imagine that, splitting a hair. Some of you don't know anything about catapults, but as a boy, I used to have a catapult. You play darts. We used to play catapults. I was okay. But David was brilliant with his sling. So here he is, full of the Spirit, full of means and full of skill. And full of courage. Because we find now that he runs. Think about that. Let's read this, shall we, together. Because this is just amazing. Have we got it up there? Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I will strike you down. I will feed you. You will know that there is a God in Israel. I'll feed you to the birds of the air. You will know that there's a God in Israel." Yep. "And all of this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran. Think about that. Ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Think about this, friends. Run to the roar. Run to your fear. Face your fear. Go at it. In the name of the Lord of hosts. In the name of King Jesus. Go toward your fear. Face it. Don't run from it. What courage he shows. He's full of courage. Running towards him. The giant is only a cricket distance away from him. This young whippersnapper, he's just been insulted by this massive giant. But now this giant is terrified. Can you picture the scene? Perhaps he's sweating. Who is this fellow running towards me? He's got a sling, he's got a stone. David put his hand in his bag, took out the stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. Wow, amazing. Look at this. Full of the Spirit, full of means, full of skill, full of courage, and full of trophies. I mean, maybe he had a bit of Saul's armor as one of a bit of a trophy. Certainly, he's got Goliath's head as a trophy. He will take Goliath's sword as a trophy. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. You see, when the Holy Ghost possesses a man, possesses a woman, we can face anything. Anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, this son of Jesse, on this occasion, was full of the Son of David, Jesus. Amazing. You see, when a man or woman realizes that the greatest champion of all, the conqueror of sin, the conqueror of death, the conqueror of hell, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who took on principalities and powers, who took on all the demonic forces, who upon the cross vanquished once and for all. All the peril, all the hatred, all the angst, all the accusation, all the condemnation that could be poured out upon the people of God, he bore and triumphed gloriously by rising again from the dead. Then they realize that Jesus is the greatest of all, the captain of our salvation, the champion of our salvation. Here we are, the giant of fear, faith, and fullness. Can I ask you as we close, if you look at your fears, which are grim, you'll stumble, and so will I. If we're looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and fix our eyes on him, our fears will tumble. Isn't that true? When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Go out in the name of the Lord of hosts, day by day, in the power of his might, clothed in his armor, full of his spirit, doing his will. And face your giants, and in his name, see them fall. Let's stand and sing.